You're listening to LVB Podcast Show with your friend, advocate, and host, Alvaro.
Hi, and welcome to the LVB Show. My name is Alvaro, and I'm very happy to be with you tonight. And tonight, this interview for our listeners is very exciting. We have Stephanie Urbanski from Indoors. This wonderful company is doing something very impressive to help people get access to airports. And she's going to explain all about that, but I'm very excited to have you on, Stephanie.
Thank you very much. I'm excited to be here and to talk more what it is that we are doing.
So tell us, Stephanie, first of all, what is Indoors? What is your company?
So Indoors is basically a technology company specializing in indoor location. We are all familiar with GPS navigation when we're outdoors. We can be localized when we're on a street, and we can navigate from our current position to whatever address or point we want to go to. But the GPS technology has its limitations, especially or inside buildings, because the signal gets distorted. So that's exactly what Indoors is doing. We have a patented technology to solve this problem, to give you real-time position and also navigation inside of buildings. So, for example, if you're the owner of a big indoor venue, just like you mentioned, think of an airport or a shopping mall, an office building, and an event space, or even a hospital, any venue where people need help to navigate, that's where we can help. So all you would need is a little hardware that's called beacons. They have to be installed inside the venue. You would need a smartphone application that actually has our SDK included, SDK meaning just a few lines of code, and you would have to provide a map of your actual venue. And once you have this set up, a user can open a smartphone application. He will see the map of the venue, and he will be able to see his exact position inside the building. It's like the blue dot that we know, and really the localization we know from GPS. And users can then also navigate from one point inside a building to another point inside this building, and they can get the fastest way how to get there. That's basically what Indoors is doing and the technology that we are providing.
Very good, Stephanie. Tell us when and why this company is born.
So Indoors was born in 2010, and that was out of a very simple and personal problem, actually. One of our founders, he got lost at an airport in Germany. He was on his way to Shanghai, and he literally could not find the bathroom at the airport. And there was no kiosk, no map anywhere to be found. And he thought to himself, you know, it's 2010, and, you know, there has to be something on my smartphone that can help me to navigate inside this big, huge airport. And if you think about it, I mean, we spend 90% of our time indoors, inside of buildings, and 65% of mobile traffic is consumed indoors. But, you know, there was at that time no solution. And of course, there are unexploited opportunities here. So basically, that's how Indoors started. And ever since, we have this strong focus on the technology. It's less on the marketing aspects, because of course there are a lot of marketing opportunities around location. But for us, it's really about the navigation technology.
For our listeners, is the same beacons than iBeacons?
Yeah, so I mean, the answer probably is no, it's not exactly the same. So maybe let's start what actually a beacon is. A beacon is a small piece of hardware that's battery or energy powered, and that just sends a constant Bluetooth signal, a Bluetooth low energy signal. And the signal is doing nothing else but saying, I am here and my ID is XYZ. And so when a smartphone or any other mobile device is in the proximity of this beacon, it picks up the signal and a certain action can be performed or is triggered on the phone. That can be, you know, the location can be detected or a notification can be sent or you could be checked in into a place. iBeacon specifically, that's the Apple protocol, the Apple standard for those Bluetooth low energy beacons. So, and I said those beacons, that is something that we need for our technology. We ourselves, we do not provide those beacons, but our technology works with any of those iBeacons.
Now, before I ask you about the heart of this interview, I have a curious maybe question about beacons. Today, and is Stephanie, how is that interest of having beacons in stores, in airports, in malls, in Europe? I know in the States is coming, but in Europe, for instance, how is that? Is people and businesses excited about this technology?
Yes, I would definitely say so. So, it is also in the States, I would argue, it is a new technology. So it is a kind of a hot topic, especially if you're, you know, looking at, if you try to be very innovative, then this is definitely something you would want to look into. But at the same time, since it's new, companies are kind of very, and you know, careful what they can actually do with this technology. Most of it these days is around, you know, sending notifications to a smartphone and, you know, sending a message to people. But I think there are much more use cases out there. So there will be a lot more to explore and hopefully a lot more companies that will actually try this once it gets more and more into, let's say, mainstream.
For our listeners, the reason why Stephanie is here is because last year I saw a report on a company called Indoors doing a project at the San Francisco International Airport. And I was blown away by that because, as you all know, I'm legally blind and I'm very interested in technology that may help us in places like airports. I always get lost. I always need assistance. And I do know, Stephanie, that you cannot tell me everything about this project, but what can you tell us about what you have done and what you are trying there?
So basically what we did at San Francisco Airport was that last year in 2014, we were selected among some other startups to participate in San Francisco's Entrepreneurship in Residence programs. And that was basically a collaboration with companies to bring together the private sector and city departments because they wanted to explore innovative solutions to solve problems. Problems just like you were explaining, you know, you would need assistance, you know, if you wanted to travel. So that's exactly why it was one of the reasons why we got paired with the San Francisco Airport, because they specifically wanted to look into indoor navigation and a solution to help the blind and visually impaired people to navigate inside the airport. So our expertise was purely indoor location at that point. So we had to learn a lot about how visually impaired people actually travel and how they can benefit from those enhanced location-based services. So we have been working with an organization that's called Lighthouse for the Blind. They are here and based in San Francisco. And we have done a lot of focus groups and user testings. And we had to really actually learn what it is that visually impaired people need when they travel on their own, when they navigate the airport. And the idea was really to provide, just like you were saying, a self-reliant solution that actually guides the people from the curb all the way to the gate at the airport. So today we have a prototype of an app. It's unfortunately not publicly released, but basically what the app does is it tells you, if you navigate through the terminal at the airport, what is happening around you. It paints you, I would say, 360-degree picture of relevant point of interests in your vicinity. And those point of interests might be a check-in counter, that might be the information desk, that might be a bathroom, that might be shops. So, and it was really interesting when we were developing the project, because we were expecting that, you know, visually impaired people would want turn-by-turn navigation. But it actually turned out that this doesn't make much sense at a big airport, because there are so many moving obstacles that would have been really difficult to, you know, give very accurate turn-by-turn navigation. So instead of that, we implemented the possibility for visually impaired to actually get a really good idea of what is happening around them, where are certain shops, were a certain point of interest. And it was really, it was literally eye-opening for us to see how one of our testers was amazed when he heard about all the shops that are at the airport, because he was traveling through the airport a lot, but he never knew what shops there were. And it was, for him, it was a totally new way of exploring the location, actually, with the help of our technology. So that's the idea in... That's the kind of brief idea of what the San Francisco Airport project was about.
For our listeners, Stephanie, let me see if I understand correct. You will, in the future, because I know this is being tested and everything, but in the future, you would be able to start an application. You will be able to see maybe a point, like a dot in the map, see it yourself, correct?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Then you are going to see certain maybe dots or names of shops around you with a specification of maybe they are, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe they are 500 meters away, something like that?
Exactly. So you would get, so, and the beauty is, you know, it can be used by visually impaired, but at the same time, it can be used, you know, by me not being visually impaired, because just like you're saying, you get a map, you get to see the blue dot, and you have a list of point of interests. But you also, wherever you are located, the app automatically tells you, you know, 500 meters is the check-in counter. 600 meters to your right, it of course also gives you the direction, is the bathroom. So you really get to see where certain point of interests are. And of course, out of the list, you can pick a point of interest that is important for you. For example, if you want to navigate to the gate of your departing flight, that would be a point of interest that is very relevant to you.
So you start walking, and then you the distance is automatically
changing,
right?
The distance is automatically changing, and depending in which direction you're going, also the point of interests and the direction will be changing. So if you go in a certain direction, now the check-in counter might not be straight ahead anymore, but it might be to your right. And also in the app, you can specify if you just want to get a direction, or you can also get a clockwise direction. So check-in counter is at 3 o'clock, or it will tell you the check-in counter is to your right.
Stephanie, and I'm going to dream big this interview. You will excuse me for that, but is the excitement that I have with me. This technology will be accessible with the screen readers for mobile phones. Do you want it to talk out loud automatically? What are you thinking?
Actually, that's exactly the way it works right now, since it's a dedicated application for the visually impaired. It automatically talks out loud. You could also turn this off in the settings, but the same way it also works if you have the accessibility features in the phone, in your iPhone, turned on. So yes, that's exactly the way it works.
This is so exciting, Stephanie. I saw on your wonderful website the airport navigation service app that you, together with KLM, Royal Dutch, launch. Tell us, because this collaboration with airlines for me seems extremely exciting, not only inside the airport but even inside the plane, to find your seat. Tell us about that.
Yes. So the project or the work with KLM, actually, this is a slightly different use case than the San Francisco project, because the KLM app is a really dedicated customer service application for the KLM passengers. Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam has a lot of transit passengers, and KLM really wanted to streamline the customer's time in transit. So they integrated our SDK into their native application. And once a passenger exits the plane, he will receive a notification about his connecting flight. The notification will tell the person, you know, you are at gate, let's say A15, your connecting flight is at gate B60. It will take you 20 minutes to get there. And it will show you the fast way how to get there. So you will have a pretty good idea of how much time you have, you know, getting from one flight to your connecting flight, and actually optimizing your time at the airport and making sure, or at least reducing the risk of missing a flight. So that's really the focus of this KLM app, to have a customer service app for KLM passengers.
To you, seems possible to have it inside the planes?
Yes, definitely. So, plane is, you know, navigating inside. So there is definitely a possibility to have it inside the plane and to actually, you know, locate your seats. We have an accuracy of 2 to 5 meters. So actually, with our technology, so actually, there's a pretty good chance that you find your seat. You might be sitting in the wrong seat, but at least you should get the right row. That's what we can ensure.
Right. Stephanie, this technology or the technology that Google is trying in indoor mapping and in Apple with Apple Maps, any of these technologies you think will get a super accuracy, or you think we should always think of terms of it's going to be close enough, but perfect is not possible right now?
Well, it's a really good question. And, you know, the field of indoor navigation is, keep in mind, it's really relatively young. And currently there are a lot of players in the field, and there are a lot of different approaches and different technologies, which is a really good thing, because there is a lot of research and development happening. I can see it with us with indoors. You know, we have a dedicated research and development department, so we have really literally 4 really smart guys sitting there and working day and night to improve the technology, actually. So I guess, as said, we are now at an accuracy of 2 to 5 meters. Most of the time it's around 3 meters, which actually is, you know, it is pretty good. So I guess we will just have to wait a little longer, and over time we will definitely get to quite accurate positioning.
Can you tell us in other airports or airlines that you are working with?
The thing is, we're definitely seeing some interest from other airports. So we do not, we are in talks with a lot of airports, and we definitely expect to see more projects in the future. Same goes with airlines. I mean, there are also, if you think about it, other industries, like, you know, big shopping malls where you would need navigation. There is interest from office buildings and also from event organizations. And actually, here we have a customer and one project that I really wanted to tell you more about, because it's an organization called MD Support. They are also from the US, and it's an organization to support people affected by macular degeneration. So this is really a project where we used all our knowledge that we got from the San Francisco Airport project, because this MD support organization, they are having hosting several events per year. And what we did is we created an indoor navigation audio guide for them based on the learnings from our San Francisco project. So that means you can use your smartphone with voice activation. And this audio guide will facilitate orientation, and it will eliminate all the frustration you have when you explore a new venue, when you go to an event in a really big venue, because the app will provide indoor positioning, it will have presence detection, it will have features like navigation and routing. You can share your location with a friend or with someone you want to meet, and it will even have location-based communication, especially for visually impaired visitors of those events. So we definitely see some more interest in, and also in other industries.
Wow. I'm speechless now. because Stephanie, for our listeners, I am a member of their message board, MD support.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
for many years, actually. And I met friends there because my IDC has a part there that is retinitis pigmentosa. So what an exciting thing that you are saying, because for all the conventions that mm-hmm. there happens in the US and everywhere in the world, it would be wonderful to have these, for instance, the NFB, the American Council of the Blind, and so many other organizations, the Foundation Fighting Blindness. That would be wonderful for people attending to have these kind of services. Yeah, the future is very good. And I have a question, because there was a talk about an application that actually they won an award in New York 2 years ago, but the app was never developed. Something happened. And I want to ask you about this. Subway stations navigation.
Mm-hmm.
It's very complex, at least it is in terms, this is something that we haven't discussed, the internet connection. This application was working with internet, and on the subway is almost impossible to. How does your technology work in for subway stations and train stations, places that for the visually impaired and blind are tough to navigate for sure? Could you help there?
In theory, yes, definitely. Because the good thing about our technology, and I don't know the project you're referring to, I'm not familiar with that one, but the good thing is our technology works even offline. So you have to download an application. So let's say if, you know, a certain city has an application for their subway system, you would have to download that beforehand. You need internet connection for this. But once you get, for example, inside a building or even down into the subway, you do not need internet connection anymore, because you downloaded the map already and all the calculations are happening on the phone. So that is the good news, that this problem is solved. We would hope that, you know, this technology, you know, also gets into subways and a lot of, you know, public places. We do not have a project yet in a subway station. There are some ideas, and, you know, we are talking to some people. Government projects take some time, but I would definitely hope that we can see the technology in the future in subways and lots of other public places.
Stephanie, I'm not sure if this question is complex or not, but you are specialized in indoors, right?
Mm-hmm.
My question is, do you see in the future this technology applied to, let me give you an example. I'm walking in the streets of New York, and I have my smartphone with me, and I have an application from a music store. That application has your technology, meaning, so there are if I understand correctly, they have to have beacons inside the store, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so I'm walking and it detects that the music store is 20 meters away. And if you have your beacons in most of the corners of, oh no, from a street, and I've been many times in New York, from 48 to 70 Street, would you see the possibility of an interactive map that is very reliable in distance, where I'm walking, it says 20 meters away, Starbucks, 50 meters away, blah, 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 because they all contain the beacons. Is that a real possibility in some years?
I think that would definitely be the vision for the future. So, because also our technology, and I mean, technology is at a point where it can actually seamlessly switch from, you know, GPS navigation outdoors to beacon technology indoors. So technically, yes, you can walk on the streets, you know, and you can get information, again, you know, what is happening around you and how far certain shops are. And once you enter the store and there are beacons, then it can, you know, seamlessly change into the indoor localization. I think for a seamless solution is what we are now hoping for, there are some things that have to happen. So first, we would definitely hope to see that beacons are becoming part of the infrastructure of buildings. So that, you know, the more beacons there are, indoors or maybe also outdoors, the more coverage, of course, we will have. And, you know, the more seamless the coverage will be. And also, probably something that we would be hoping to happen in the future is that the localization technology would actually be integrated into our phones, so that we don't need an app for every single store anymore, but, you know, it can be this, you know, one app that can guide you through the world, basically. And, you know, once those two things are happening, that would definitely be a huge step towards this unified navigation experience, no matter if you're indoors or outdoors.
How exciting. Now, let me give you some ideas. places you must think also. You need to think about sport venues. And before you answer, let me tell you a little anecdote. I have been in a few concerts. I love music for visitors. And I went to see Madonna in Philadelphia. And I went to see Elton John New Year's Eve in Brooklyn last year. If I wasn't in the company of sighted people, I can tell you pretty much I wouldn't find my place at all, because these places are huge. You have a lot of stairs. Yeah, you have an elevator, but to go where? I don't see enough to know where I'm going. And so to know what row it is, what seat it is, and all of that, sports venues for people in general, not only, as you very well say, for visually impaired and blind, but for everybody, I think it's going to be huge. Are you in touch with sport venues?
I agree. And me being based now here in San Francisco, I know that actually a lot of sports stadiums are getting equipped with beacons. So I know that the new stadium for the 49ers in Santa Clara, they have beacons installed. I know, and excuse me that I just have local examples for now, but I also know that the Warriors are experimenting with beacons. So I definitely think that the technology is getting there. And so it's, you know, NFL, NBA, also the baseball stadiums, they are all experimenting with beacons. So, and just as I said, once the beacons become part of the infrastructure, it will be much easier to build on that. And I mean, you know, you just pointed out our sales strategy. So yes, we will definitely try to bring our technology in there.
Stephanie, for our listeners, how expensive is for a business to put beacons there, and how can they come down in order to encourage businesses worldwide to do this?
I mean, it's a difficult question, but I would say one beacon is around $20 to $25. Of course, the more beacons you buy, the cheaper they will get. So you can drive the price down, you know, below $15 or something. So if you think about it, it's not that expensive. Again, beacons are relatively new, and there are a lot of innovations and improvements happening. So I also would expect that over time the price will go even further down. A big topic, of course, is always the battery lifetime. So that's also a trade-off you have to think of. You know, the longer the battery life, the more expensive the beacons will get. But there are definitely a lot of innovations happening in that space. And again, there are a lot of beacon providers out there. So I expect a lot of innovation coming here.
Stephanie, how many beacons do you need in a normal size store?
Again, it's a kind of tricky question because it also depends on the structure of the building. It depends on how thick the walls are. It depends on how open the building is. But as a rule of thumb, I would say you would need around 15 beacons for 1,000 square meters. That's a rule of thumb that we are calculating with.
Now, this is another difficult question for Stephanie. For visually impaired and blind people in general, something that is a little bit more complicated than other things is, for instance, to go to the beach. I'm not sure if there are going to be any kind of waterproof beacons in the future, but... do you see some kind of navigation technology helping us go to the beach and find our way back to the towel?
I mean, this is not necessarily a use case that we are working on with our technology, but technically with a beacon, you can turn a lot of objects into smart objects, you know, just by putting a beacon on it and then, you know, connecting it to a smartphone application. And just as you pointed out, and as I was saying, a lot of innovations happening. Actually, a lot of companies are working on making, you know, outdoor-proof, waterproof beacons. So a lot of beacons are already waterproof, but that's definitely also something that those beacon vendors are looking into to make them really durable for any weather conditions.
This question may sound a little bit silly, I'm sorry if it is, but can anyone buy a beacon, or it has to be a business? Meaning, if I go to a local beach and I say, Stephanie says that I can have a beacon put in any object, so let's put it in the sand, in maybe on top of a rock or whatever, maybe, or is that absurd because you need a receiver, you need an app to control that, obviously, and you don't have it.
So anyone can buy a beacon. You can buy beacons on on any on some of the vendors' websites.
Right.
You can also go to our website and, you know, we have some links to vendors, so that might be a good starting point. But yes, unfortunately, at this point, you know, there is some setup and, you know, maybe some programming developing required at this point that you can actually easily connect the beacon with your positioning and location. But it's definitely worth checking out some of the beacon vendors, and I'm sure they will also have some solutions some quick solutions for a use case like this.
Now, while we're talking, I'm thinking, you see in the future, you know, these things that these locators that you put something in your keys and then you touch a button and it's gonna make a beep, and so you're gonna know where is the keys in your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the beacons are gonna become that in the future? You're gonna put beacons in like your keys or passport, or is that not the way?
Those are definitely scenarios for the future. So, and I'm sure the size of the beacons, it will come down. There are already some technologies for like really small beacons, but that's definitely the idea. And you know, the beauty of those beacons really is that they have a reach of, you know, some have a reach of up to 100 meters. So those are definitely some realistic use cases.
Who invented the beacons?
That is a really good question. We might have to ask Google, because I honestly don't know.
It was in Europe, right?
That is a good question. I don't know.
Okay, I'm not going to say the country because I'm going to mistake. I do believe it was in Europe, and someone went to the States and said, hey, these are beacons, and they talked to Apple and they become the iBeacons, and then other companies came along and they have beacons or for Samsung and so on and so forth. It's my understanding that it was created in Europe, for our listeners, if my memory serves me well, because it was almost a year that I heard that. Boy, what a technology. I mean, you know, Stephanie, there are technologies that come and go, and there are some that stay. You know what I mean? And this is going to stay, because it's the application is unbelievable. I mean, let me give you another example for a listener. I'm just, you know, thinking out loud. In hotels, big hotels, you know, you have your room in floor number 10. You know, and how to get there, you know, and be able to have this to help you guide in maybe in Las Vegas, you know, in these super complex places where you have so many places to go and play and things like that. That would be great. For instance, just, you know, it gives me so many ideas of places they could use these. Oh, yeah. Do you see one of the biggest issues besides finding your way in the airport is finding your luggage? And for me, Stephanie, is complicated because I have someone who finds the suitcase and everything, but it always takes a long time to find it. Would it be possible to have a beacon in the suitcase and you have an app for that?
Yes, definitely. Again, this is something that is possible. Just, you know, a few weeks ago, months ago actually now, I was at a hackathon, and I think one of the teams developed something like this so that you can, you know, easily track your luggage. You could easily track your pet. That is at the airport, and that you had to like check in like your luggage, because that's the way how pets have to travel. So this kind of asset tracking, this is all possible with beacons, and I expect a lot of crazy things to happen. And just as you mentioned, there are so many use cases for this indoor navigation technology, for beacon technology. And the same for us. I'm sure we didn't explore all of the use cases yet. And, you know, clients come to us and they have the greatest ideas. And we are still learning, you know, what is actually possible with this technology. So it is a really interesting and amazing space to be in right now.
Stefan, I know it's complicated, but can you put approximately some timeline to say when are we going to see a real application to navigate a terminal in an airport in like at the, you know, New York International Airport, JFK, two or three airports where you can do this, and something else. Maybe have the app talk in another language, not only English, maybe Spanish or French or German. How do you see that in how many years do you see that happening?
That is indeed a really difficult question. I mean, you know, the technology is there, so the solution works. So I would really hope we see this technology also really implemented into airports and into projects. So I wouldn't be able to put a timeline or a timing behind that, because technically it's possible. We can do it. But I can promise you, as soon as, you know, there are more projects and there is any project, I will definitely keep you updated so that you are aware of it and your users are aware of it. And I will definitely keep you in the loop once we have more installations.
Well, Stephanie, that is wonderful. And as last, please tell us about how to get in touch with your company.
I think the easiest way is, as always, the internet, and a good starting point would be our website. So the website is indoors, it's indoo.rs. And if you just Google for indoors SFO, you can find a lot more information about the San Francisco Airport project. So I think those are the best starting points. And, you know, if you want to reach out, just feel free to send us an email through the website, and we will help.
Stephanie, thank you so much to you, to everyone there who made this interview possible. I know how busy you are. It's not easy to find time, but we made it. Our listeners are going to be very pleased to know how technology is just moving faster than we can even imagine, really. So it's been a pleasure to have you on, Stephanie.
Thank you very much for having me. It was great talking to you.
My pleasure, Stephanie. And for our listeners, remember, you can email me at lowvisionbureau@gmail.com to be on the show. And you can follow me on Twitter at lowvisionbureau. And you can go to Facebook and you can find LBB Show, and you're going to find updates on the show and new guests. So thank you so much for listening to LBB Show. I'm Alvaro, saying good night.